Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
This morning we read the Ten Commandments. The response to each is, Amen, Lord have mercy. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me.
Amen, Lord have mercy.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
Amen, Lord have mercy.
You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God.
Amen, Lord have mercy.
Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen, Lord have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen, Lord have mercy.
You shall not commit murder.
Amen, Lord have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen, Lord have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen, Lord have mercy.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen, Lord have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen, Lord have mercy.
Jesus said, The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please be seated for the lesson. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm we read in unison. Praise the Lord, you that fear him. Stand in awe of him, O offspring of Israel. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. For he does not despise nor abhor the poor and their fault. Neither does he hide his face from them. But when they cry to him, he hears them. My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall bow before him. For kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations. To him alone, all who sleep in the earth bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust fall before him. My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him. They shall be known as the Lord's forever. They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called a crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. I want to tell you the story of why I love the church. Some of you may have heard it before, but I know that all of you haven't, and it's important that you know. I grew up in a family that struggled some. My father was a very smart man and a good lawyer, but he suffers still to this day from chronic depression. When I was a little girl, sometimes he would just go to bed for days and cry and cry. People didn't know what to do with that back then. I think the longest he was in bed was for 3 months. But he believed in God, and he always told me that it was his faith that kept him going. So the first prayers that I can remember saying were like letters, because I thought as a child that if you were going to pray, you needed to write a letter to God in your head. I guess then you sent it up or something. So I would think, "Dear God, thank you for life. Love, Kate." And I said that over and over again in my head. My first taste of church happened when I was 5 years old. My parents were kind of seekers, and they didn't know what they were doing, but my mother was a concert pianist, and she started trying to learn how to play the organ in this beautiful Episcopal church in downtown New Haven, Connecticut. And she would come in the evenings and turn on the lights only in the chancel area. And at 5 years old, I would take off my shoes and run and slide down the marble aisles in my socks. And I would play in the pews. And my first impression of church was of two things, two overwhelming things. Beauty and safety. I started coming to church, and the people there were so loving. All these grown-ups seemed to love me for no reason at all. The first time I saw communion from behind the altar rail was when I was about 12. I decided I wanted to acolyte, and I got to sit there and watch as these people came up with their old hands and young hands, red fingernails and calluses, all different colors and shapes and sizes, and I watched them looking up for the bread and holding out their hands, and I began to cry. And then I was so embarrassed because I was a teenager, and that was totally uncool. Honestly, I don't know where I would be were it not for the church and the love of God that I experienced there. I don't know who I would be or where I would be. Recently, I've been meeting with couples who are having their baby baptized. And I'll insist that they come and meet with me in my office alone to talk to them. Because things seem to be changing, and people no longer innately understand what baptism is. So I will meet with these parents and I'll ask them, what do you want your child to be like when he or she grows up? Who would you like them to become? What is the most important quality that you want your child to have as an adult? And the answer is always so similar. I want my child to be good, to give something back, to love God, to serve people. And I'll look the parents in the eye and I'll say, the world is changing. And you are going to be so distracted and so pressured to do many things on Sunday morning, soccer and violin and theater and everything. But there is only one place where your child will learn to be what you want them to be. And all of those other things are wonderful, and it's not that they don't shape character. But if you want your child to know that life is not just about pleasing themselves, then you must bring them here. This is the most important thing you can do in raising your child, is to have them experience the community and to teach them about the love of Christ. It's more important than anything. My son, my oldest son, Luke, is 16 years old. And he is up at a boarding school in New England, just outside of Princeton. It's been really hard, and I miss him a lot. But Luke has learned so much up there. And I'm not just talking about academics. Luke tells me that up in New England, there are winds of great change, that a storm is coming to the church. In New England now, it is no longer even acceptable to be Christian. When people in the school, when other students ask Luke about himself and he says that he's Christian, they assume that he's male chauvinist, bigoted, racist, and backward. There is an Episcopal chaplain at the school, but the administration has forbidden him from saying the word Jesus or Lord. So at the end of their chapel, which is more of an assembly where people talk, the chaplain says, go to love and serve. Love and serve what? He can't say the Lord. And they can talk about Buddha and Muhammad and Islam and Hinduism and all kinds of stuff, but they can't say Jesus. Luke is one of two students in the entire boarding school who goes to church on Sunday. He found a little Methodist church on the edge of the campus. They're mostly elderly, and he says the choir is really not so good. I think he got spoiled by this one. But they love on him every Sunday, and he needs to go, and he loves going. Two students? What's happening to our world? Just today, more Christians were slaughtered in the Middle East. And here in America, a storm is coming. Look up at our roof. Do you see what it looks like? It looks like the ark, doesn't it? We're heading for some serious winds, my friends. No longer is it the norm to go to church on Sunday up in New England. It is coming here, believe me. I know that you all are tempted in many ways to watch TV. Or one lady said, I go to the church of NPR. I was like, what? There are great coffee shops. You could go shopping. You could go to the movies. People don't just go to church on Sunday. We are in for some serious, hard times. But all of this change, it's a blessing. It is a blessing. Because when I look out and I see your faces, I know that you're not just here because you think it's the thing to do, or you want to see what Mrs. McGillicuddy is wearing today. I know that you came out here in the rain and weather because you believe, because you're looking for God, because you're not ashamed to admit that you need Jesus. Do you remember in the gospel for today, Jesus is with the disciples and he tells them that he's going to have to suffer, that things are going to get hard, and Peter says, oh no, Lord, you know, you're the Messiah. No, things are going to be great for you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You are not talking about things of God, but things of men. You are not talking about things of God, but things of men. Of course, if we were just going to judge by human standards, it'd be great if the church was packed and we were successful and we had a lot of money. But I think God has another plan for us. God's plan is for us to become more faithful. God's plan is for us to have the courage to walk out on the streets and talk openly about who we are, about our belief in Jesus. Yes, Jesus. In the gospel, Jesus continues and says, those who are ashamed of me in this sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. But why then? Why don't we go out and tell people about what we have here? Why are we so reticent and shy? Are we ashamed? Episcopalians are so funny. We have a hard time saying Jesus. And we're shy. We don't want to offend. We don't want people to think we're judging them or hurting their feelings. But we miss the opportunity. So many people are lonely and hungry for meaning. And they're trying to be happy all the time, and it's not working for them because it doesn't work. when you put yourself at the center of the universe. And they need us, and they need this place. But we're too ashamed to invite them in. Right now is the time for you to begin to articulate your story. I want you out there telling people about what this place means to you. God will provide openings for you, I know it. If you listen carefully as people talk to you, there will be someone in the next week who will give you an opening, who will talk to you about their loneliness or something they're struggling with. And that's when you can tell them your story and invite them. And it's okay if they get mad, and it's okay if they don't like you, because we're not ashamed, right? We are not ashamed. There's a church in London called the Church of the Steeple. Obviously, it has a tall steeple, and it's an old historic building in London. And when I say old in London, that means old. And there was a little congregation, mostly elderly people, kind of dwindling and wondering what God had in mind for them, because it didn't seem like young people were just coming in the door anymore. But they did notice, they had a nice green lawn to the side of the church. They did notice that there were a lot of teenagers hanging out there on the lawn. And a lot of them had like body piercings and tattoos, and they were playing guitars and just hanging out. So one day, some of the members of the church plucked up their courage and they made hot chocolate. And they took it out to the kids. And they didn't immediately start telling them about Jesus or that they ought to come to church. But first, they just listened. They gave them hot chocolate and they asked them about their lives. And they did this every week for months. And the kids began to call it hot chocolate. I hope we're going to do hot chocolate this week. When can we show up for hot chocolate? And then gradually the people of the church said to the kids, if we offered you some room in our church, some rooms, what would you like to do? And they said, oh, we would like to play our music and hang out. So they cleaned up two rooms, and during the week, when you walked into the Church of the Steeple, you could hear this heavy metal music going on. And as the people started listening to these teenagers, they heard about how hard their lives were, how broken many of their families were, how they didn't even know what if there was a purpose in life. And that's when they started to talk about what they found in church, about Jesus. And one by one, those teenagers in their piercings and tattoos started drifting in to the church. And now they're trying to figure out about heavy metal versus traditional music, and God bless them, but they're there together. They're figuring it out together. They've come to be with each other. I wish I could tell you that things are going to get easier. They're not. You are going to be distracted by so many things. But I don't know where I would be without church. And I hope that you too will learn to tell your story and invite people in here, because we have so much to offer. And there are so many hungry people out there longing for the love of God. But we have got to stop feeling ashamed of who we are. We are Christians. We believe in
Jesus.
Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord,
hear us.
For all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain, I invite you to name aloud those who need your prayers. Good Lord,
hear us.
For peace throughout the world, especially in the Middle East and Ukraine, that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another. Good Lord,
hear us.
For this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us. Good Lord,
hear us.
For the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, our church home, that we may welcome many people to your holy table. Good Lord,
hear us.
For those who have died, especially Christians who have died for their faith in the Middle East, we also remember Clarence Richard Estes. I invite you to speak aloud the names of those you love who have died. Good Lord,
hear us.
For our journey through this season of Lent, that we may have the strength to practice the disciplines we have adopted. Good Lord,
hear us.
We thank you for this time to worship, for those that we love, for all good gifts that you have given us, and for every breath that we take. Good Lord.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us, in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome, welcome. So glad you're here today. Good to see you all. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you have to hold it up high so they can find you. And don't put it down until they already bring it to you. Don't be shy. We're not going to make you give a speech. We're so glad you're here. So glad you're here, everybody. Next Sunday, don't forget, our clocks have to switch. It's the one that I hate. You know, we have to spring forward and lose an hour. I'm sorry to admit that to you. But if you show up here and don't remember, it'll be kind of the end of communion. So don't forget. We have our Lenten art exhibit in Tolliver Hall. Various parishioners of the cathedral have contributed art from their own homes, and we thank you all so much. This Thursday at 5:30, Professor Scott Brown, who's an art history professor that many of you know, he helps us teach the Bible Challenge, he's going to take us on what he calls the Art Walk. We're going to have a beautiful reception hosted by some of our wonderful parishioners, and he's going to talk about the history of each piece of art. So I hope that you'll join us Thursday night. We do need some coffee hour angels, so if you can bring in some food, there's a sign-up sheet in Tolliver Hall. And who's wearing a name tag? If you're wearing a name tag, would you stand up? Good job, name tag people. Everybody, these are name tags. They're available in the hallway here, and they also can be hung on the pegs in the hall to Tolliver Hall. If you don't have one made, write your name down on the piece of paper so we can make one for you. We're hoping people will wear them so that we can call each other by name, which is a good thing, right? If you're interested in learning about the Daughters of the King, please join them for an informational meeting at 12:30 right after the service in room 304. Men, the Brotherhood of St. Andrews is going to host a men's grill and chill tomorrow at 6 p.m., and all men and all boys are invited. And don't forget, during Lent, there are a lot of offerings here at the cathedral, from the daily office to the Stations of the Cross on Fridays at 5. Lots of things, so check your bulletin for details. And we have some beautiful icons that were written this week. We say writing an icon, not painting it, because God writes it through you. So I want to bless these icons, all right? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for these beautiful icons that reveal your presence among us. And we thank you for our parishioners who have taken a full week to devote this time to expressing your beauty in these pieces of art. Bless them, O Lord, that they may draw others to your presence. This we ask in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Prepare the way.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels praising you and singing. Praise you and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes, and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and we have too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.